Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, that was interesting. Was it not? If you watched the Democrat debate part two last night, which was really the upper card, if we're looking at prize fighting, that was the top of the list last night on the Democrat debate. The other debate, the undercard, or whatever they call it in the prize fighting world, was two nights ago. And really, the only player out of that I think is going to survive that whole group would be Elizabeth Warren. And whether she makes it all the way to the end of the primary season, we'll see. She'll most likely be one of the last ones standing. But that was just wild and strange and disturbing in many different ways. And so I've got a lot to talk about and a few clips there on that one. Anger seemed to be the typical tone. It's kind of gave glimpses of tyranny, because to these people, government is God. And that's what they're going to do to take care of everybody. We don't need the Lord or anything else. We just need the government. And it was loony in terms of ideas, just lunacy. I mean, just out there. And then could Biden and Bernie look any older and whiter than they did? That was really, it's like, wow, that's kind of sad. So that was just strange. No likability, almost no smiles. Nobody was funny. I don't even think anybody other than perhaps Kamala Harris had much charisma at all. So I think she walked away with that one last night, just for a couple of different points. So I'll get to that. So we'll spend most of our time today talking about that. And if you watched it, and if you would like to chime in on the Democrat debate number two from last night, feel free to call in, and I'll work you into the show today. Our phone number is always 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH if you would like to chime in about last night's debate. Only if you watched it, okay? If you're just reading articles and hearing it on other shows or whatever, that doesn't count. You would have had to have, I only want you to call in if you suffered through it like I did with my beautiful bride last night. So if you have something to say, if you want to make some observations, believe me, I've got plenty to say, which I know is no shock to you. On last night's Democrat debate number two, give us a call, 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. But before that, a couple other things I want to bring to your attention and ask for your help with. One is particular here in North Carolina, and then one is for all of you everywhere listening to the show, wherever you may be, from as far west as Hawaii, on KLHT out there, which is a great station, great network out there in Honolulu. Then we come in a little bit. We're on the air in San Francisco. That's the light in San Francisco. And then into the Midwest with our friends on Wilkins Radio and in Salt Lake City and Kansas City and Indianapolis and Montana and places like that. And then we move, of course, to the East Coast and North Carolina and Richmond, Virginia, and down to Jacksonville, Florida, and our friends down there on Truth Radio in Jacksonville and the Truth Radio Network here in North Carolina. So if you're in North Carolina, I want to invite you specifically, if you're here in the Raleigh area of North Carolina, where I live and broadcast from. We talked about this the other day when Bishop Wooden, my slightly older brother from another mother, was on the show. We talked about Love Life. So Love Life, and just an incredible pro-life cause, and also dealing with the orphan crisis and adoption and fostering. Every Saturday. So we gather, we pray, we worship together, we read the scriptures together, and then we spend 45 minutes to an hour in front of, here in Raleigh, one of the busiest abortion clinics in the area. And just here in Raleigh, my hometown in Wake County, North Carolina, we allow the murder of 173 babies per week. So Bishop Wooden and myself will be leading tomorrow the prayer walk and everything else going on. It's just an amazing time together as a body of Christ. Very diverse, a lot of different churches, a lot of different denominations, but people that love the Lord and care about life. If you saw Unplanned and you're like, I got to do something, this is a great first step for you. I don't know a single Christian who wouldn't say they're pro-life, but when it comes to what you do about that, that's a big challenge for a lot of us. And this is a great place to start. It is. It can be somewhat uncomfortable. That's the spiritual darkness is real. As we're singing and praying and praising the Lord across the street from the abortion clinic, pretty much every time they blast some of the most vulgar rap music you could find. And that's just the deal. Oftentimes, we kind of spend most of our Christian lives a little bit in the holy huddle. That does not happen. We're together, but we're together there to intercede on behalf of the moms, the dads, and especially the babies. But there are spiritual forces of darkness, and we would I would be honored to have you join us tomorrow. Just go to lovelife.org. Also, they're in Charlotte and Greensboro, North Carolina. But you've got abortion clinics around the country and pro-life people around the country. So whether you live in North Carolina or not, I guarantee you tomorrow, if there's an abortion clinic near you, there will be Christians there praying. And when we pray, God does things. It's an awesome experience. So whether you're here in North Carolina or not, don't take that as a way out. But if you are in North Carolina, go to lovelife.org, especially here in Raleigh where I'm at. I'd love to see you tomorrow morning, 9 to 11 a.m., and you can come take a stand for life with us. Here's another thing that you're going to be hearing about. I'll mention this pretty much every day through July 24th. We are a ministry. This is a donor-operated ministry. We make a little bit of money for the ministry with some ads and some partnerships on the show. But the vast majority of the funding of the ministry, which pays for our radio airtime. We're buying most of the radio airtime. And just so you know, how much does that cost to be on in 22 markets and 33 stations in 13 states? It's about $100,000 a year. It's not a small number of amount of money that we invest, that we have partners and we have bigger donors and mid-sized donors and smaller donors in order to make that happen. And then this is the first year that I've actually taken a salary from the radio ministry. My longtime partnership with the Harvest Crusades. They're doing some different things with their crusades now. And so my partnership with them ended last October. And with it, about 45% of my income. And I'm not crying or whining here. I'm just telling you, God has always provided for us and my family and in this ministry. But our needs in the ministry are bigger now than they ever have been before. So we need help. More help than we've gotten in the past. So we have just a tremendous friend of the ministry, a generous husband and wife, who've offered us a $10,000 matching grant. They really want us to focus on new donors. So if you've never given to this ministry before, and if this blesses you, what God has called me to do and what happens here on the air with all of our guests and all the topics and everything else we do on this radio show, I need your help. I'm not afraid to ask you for it. God will provide. I know that. We have to come up with the first $10,000 in donations before July 24th, and then they'll match that, so we'll actually have $20,000, which will keep us in pretty good shape until our next fundraising event, which will be our annual one called Call to Worship. We finally nailed that down October 3rd. So if you're here in the area or in North Carolina, want to come join us again, it's an amazingly powerful night. That's October 3rd. But in the meantime, we need your help to keep this going. You can go to the website, thestevenobleshow.com. There's the donate button up top, especially for first-time donors, whether it's $10, $100. Some of you can do $1,000. We need to hit that number, God willing, by July 24th. Go to thestevenobleshow.com. I'll keep reminding you, and you're going to hear commercials about it, too. We'll be right back. I dare you. Okay, that was certainly an interesting evening, the Democrat debate number two, if you want to call in and chime in. If you watched it and you want to share your reactions, I'd love to hear from you. 866-348-7884 is the number. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. And they're so far left, it's shocking. I'll get into that when I come back, when I take a first call right quick from our friend Clay, who's calling in from Raleigh, Durham, North Carolina. Clay, thanks for calling. Did you watch it last night, and what'd you think?
Brother Steve, I'm going to tell you what, man. You know, just to find out what the first night was about, I didn't even watch it Wednesday night. And from what I found out, you know, just to hear Brother Jay Sekulo and them talk about how some of them were speaking Spanish. I don't even speak Spanish. But, you know, I turned it on for just like a few moments. And you have this one woman raising her voice to one of the other people that was on the panel last night. So, it seems to me there's a bunch of them in discontent. Then I get an update today saying that Harris was all over Biden.
Oh yeah, I'll play that.
Oh, you're not a racist. You're not a racist. but I mean, you know, there's.
And then goes on to essentially call him a racist.
Well, I mean, and, yeah, at some point. But you know, brother, I'm gonna tell you what, man. You know, when you first started taking calls about 3 years, a little over 3 years ago, asking what your thoughts were about Trump, you know, running for president. You know, I gave my viewpoint on this. You know, I called you up. I think I was one of the people in that area to call you up. You know, I said I was also working the state fair. And I said the reason why he's doing this is because he's got a backbone he has the spine to do it and other stuff as well. He doesn't have a yellow stripe down his back. But, you know, you keeping up to date with what was went on Wednesday night, what last night? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, it's nutty.
It just seems they need that Brother Jay and them have a major point that Trump is going to get reelected come next year.
Well, the thing is, and Clay, thanks. It's always good to hear your voice, and thanks for calling in. I appreciate you and love you, man. Have a great weekend, but thanks for calling in.
Thank you, too, brother. God bless you, man. Love you as well.
You're welcome. Thanks. And the thing about it is, and it's easy to think like that. And like you know this if you've been listening to this show for a while. I'm not a never-Trumper, and I'm not an always-Trumper, all right? I'm somewhere in between. I call balls and strikes. It doesn't matter to me who's standing at the plate. I call balls and strikes as best as I can based on the Word of God and that kind of worldview. But last night, I mean, the anger there is palpable. There are a bunch of angry, disgruntled people, and it was easy to see. What's their answer to everything? It's the government. And then they promised to take care of everybody and everything you need. There's some things that happened there last night, especially, and is the issue on the border a big issue? Absolutely. That's one of the big reasons and main reasons Trump got elected. But their answer is insane. I mean, is it heartfelt that they want to, anybody that wants to come here, they'll help anybody, come on in. We're not even going to charge you with a crime. We'll make it a civil crime, and then we'll give you a court date, and hopefully we'll see you in a couple months. Of course, they're not coming back. But it's just lunacy, and to think that, the Democrat Party in California can't take care of 100,000 homeless people in L.A., but they think we can take care of millions and millions and millions coming across the border, as well as the ones that are already here illegally. I mean, I would like to try to give you some points for the heart to have compassion for people, and I do. But for people, we have basically open borders, which is what they're advocating for, is absolute lunacy. We can't afford it. That's not national sovereignty. Get rid of the United States of America. Just you want to open that door to everybody on the planet who wants a better economic opportunity? That's just about everybody on the planet. It's insane. It was just insane. Just so much pandering going on. Anyway, I'm going to go through a bunch of this stuff because it was just kind of wild to watch. I was listening earlier today to Glenn Beck, which I do from time to time. But on Fridays especially, he's got Bill O'Reilly on, who I appreciate his opinion. I think he's a smart guy. I don't agree with everything he's ever done. But he's got, I think his political instincts are excellent. And he was like, coming out of these two debates, he still thinks Biden's number one, and I'll talk about that. He thinks Kamala Harris is number two. I think she was the clear winner last night. She's the only one that has any kind of personality. She went right after Biden. I'll play a couple of those clips. She's a good storyteller. She's a good communicator. She's a tough, well-spoken black woman. And especially in the Democrat side of the equation, to have a black woman that's in that position is appealing because for obvious reasons. They always just kind of think they're always kind of pandering to every group, and they're doing it with that. Okay. Yes. Cindy on Facebook Live. I am taking calls. If you watched the debate last night and you want to chime in, 866-348-7884 is the number. 866-348-7884. Bill O'Reilly was thinking this is still going to be a tough campaign for Trump. And here's what it's going to come down to, because the way they're playing it is Donald Trump is Satan and the Democrat Party is our savior. So who do you want? The great Satan, Donald Trump, or the savior, the Democrat Party? Because the savior is going to take care of everything. He's going to take care of everything, whether you're a citizen or not, whether you came in here illegally or not. Going to take care of everything, unless, of course, you're in the womb. Then we'll, quote unquote, take care of you in a different way. And that's the fascinating thing. They have outrage about putting kids in cages, and I'm not saying we don't have a major humanitarian problem down on the border, because we do. But they're outraged about putting kids in cages, but they give a standing ovation to being kill kids in the womb at any point up till delivery. And that's just where we're at. Talk about being given over, Romans 1. That's exactly what it looks like. But one of the interesting things, to lighten it up for a moment, Marianne Williamson, how did this woman even get on the stage? How is she even involved here? She's an author. She's written like 13 books. And she was all about love. It reminded me of Captain Antonio, right? Love, love will keep us together. And then she wants to start, did you see this? She added her name to a movement to establish a U.S. Department of Peace. The U.S. Department of Peace is a major step in dismantling America's systematically entrenched culture of violence. Of course, that won't include violently killing babies in the womb, limb from limb. But they have this strange little pink logo, the U.S. Department of Peace. And she's just bizarre. How did she even get in there? I have no idea. It was just the most bizarre thing. And so there's a clip from that that you got to hear this. This is, so at the end, they had their little closing statements, 45 seconds. And so this is Marianne. This is her idea, Marianne Williamson. This is how she's going to beat Donald Trump, the great Satan. And she's trying to sound, I think she's stealing some Christianese language here. Check this out.
I'm sorry we haven't talked more tonight about how we're going to beat Donald Trump. I have an idea about Donald Trump. Donald Trump is not going to be beaten just by insider politics talk. He's not going to be beaten just by somebody who has plans. He's going to be beaten by somebody who has an idea what this man has done. This man has reached into the psyche of the American people, and he has harnessed fear for political purposes. So, Mr. President, if you're listening, I want you to hear me, please. You have harnessed fear for political purposes, and only love can cast that out.
Okay, the only perfect love casts out fear, right? Maybe she pulled that from the Bible, maybe she didn't.
So I have a feeling you know what you're doing. I'm going to harness love for political purposes. I will meet you on that field, and sir, love will win.
Yes. Awesome. She actually in the debate. And then they asked another question, what's the first thing you're going to do when you become president? She says, my first call is to the Prime Minister of New Zealand, who said that her goal is to make New Zealand the place where it's the best place in the world for a child to grow up. And I would tell her girlfriend, and she kind of talked like that, you are so wrong, because the United States of America is going to be the best place in the world for a child to grow up. Unless, of course, you're in the womb. Then it's one of the most dangerous places on the planet. All right, we're going to move on. Enough of that silliness. We'll move on to the real meat of the debate and some of your calls when we come back. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-34-TRUTH. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, continuing to unpack and last night's Democrat debate. We're going to play some clips from Kamala Harris. And then the one moment that was just, I appreciated their honesty that they want to give health care to everybody at the border, every illegal immigrant that's here already, and all the ones that are coming across. And the thing you got to remember about this, and some people took issue when I shared this Dr. Dobson letter, because he recently went down there. I put it up on Facebook. It's a great letter, his observations and things that he thought about the border crisis, the humanitarian crisis down there. And I said, hey, we're to blame for this. And people, I'm not saying there's no personal responsibility from the people coming. And in the last segment, I'll share the story, the real story behind the father and the little baby, the youngster that died in the Rio Grande trying to cross into the country. But the whole thing is we baited the trap. You can come here. You can come across. We'll throw you in the system. And then we'll tell you to come back for your court date. But pretty much 30 days later. And by the way, we'll feed you. And they're not great conditions. But in 30 days, you're going to be in. And then welcome to America. And you can go take advantage of everything. You don't have to go through anything. You don't have to get in line. You just got to get up here. Cross the border. And you're in. Boom. And we set that trap. We put the big piece of cheese out there. Are those people responsible? Yes. Is this father from that terrible story, the father and the baby, the youngster that died in the Rio Grande, is he responsible? Absolutely. But we made this situation so they figured they can come. Oh, this will be easy. This will be great. And before crazy Trump shuts the border down, we got to get in. We're baiting this trap all the time. It started with our lack of an immigration system that works and our lack of border security. So you throw the door open. Hey, all these people came in and robbed my store. Really? Well, they're dirtbags for doing that. Okay, that's criminal. But you open the door. Oh, by the way, I have a ton of stuff in my store. I won't be here tonight between 12 a.m. and 7 a.m. and the front door will be unlocked. So just come on in. That's exactly what we're doing. It's insane. Let's go to Sinan, who's calling in from Raleigh, North Carolina. Thanks for calling on in. You're on with Steve. Sorry to keep you holding. Go ahead.
Hey,
are you there?
Steve, I just attended. Yeah, can you hear me?
I got you. Go ahead. Sorry, Sydney.
I just attended a naturalization ceremony a few hours ago.
Congratulations.
There were 60 citizens that just swore the oath of the United States. They went through the process legally, and they pledged allegiance in English. They sang, you know, the national anthem. And what really struck me as I watched these people that were ecstatic about what they had done I thought to myself, welcome to America, now you can pay for your health care. But if you had come across the border and made it in, you would be getting free health care.
Right.
So you're going to be penalized, you brand new citizens that are supposed to be here legally. You're going to be penalized because you're going to be paying your own hospital bills. Your kids are going to have to be paid for college by you. But if you had just come across the border, waited for 30 days, and made it in like you just said, you're going to be getting educated free, and you would be getting free health care.
Yeah, so why? So
I felt so sad because I thought, why would anybody do what they've just done?
Why follow the rules?
Right. It used to be an honor and a privilege for people to do that. If families were there celebrating and so joyous at the legal process respecting our laws. And yet, 600,000 people have been apprehended on the border this year. And we're supposed to feel bad that they come over and have sad conditions.
Yep.
I don't get it, and I really am concerned because we talk about the divided nature of this country. How much more divided are you going to create this emotional division when a guy is paying his taxes and a guy is making sacrifices for his family, for college, and for health care, and living within his means, whatever, and he just throws out the window, and these people that are not doing that. There's no way we're not going to have a civil war over that. Because human nature says, I will become so resentful of that, that I'll become deranged.
Right, that's right.
You see these examples in the hostility. I mean, it's like the poor man that shot and killed those three Muslim students at UNC. The bitterness that was inside his heart just got stronger and stronger over time to the point where eventually he killed 3 innocent people.
That's
this
right.
This is the thing I worry about when you see these leaders standing up there, privileged, every one of them.
Cindy, was there a particular part last night during the debate that really arrested your attention and perhaps disturbed you or scared you during last night's debate? Was there a particular moment?
Yes, when they said we're going to get free health care to all illegal immigrants. I just couldn't believe that. I thought, are you kidding me? I'm not a Biden fan, but when they're attacking Joe Biden for what he said, which was, I know how to work with people. I even work with a segregationist. He didn't say he agreed with a segregationist. He just said, I can work with somebody that has some reprehensible views. And for them to turn that around now and just make it all about virtue signaling, it scares me because I think people are not very well educated. You and I live and breathe this. We think about it all the time. We stay about the issues. But for, you know, it's so average citizen who just turns it on.
Oh, no, yeah, they don't know anything. No, when Kamala Harris... when Kamala Harris steps up as a well-spoken former prosecutor, African-American woman, and calls Joe Biden an old white guy, basically calls him out and says he's a racist, then most people are just going to go, oh, gosh, I didn't know that. And, of course, because she's saying it, I got to believe it. And boom, there you go, Joe. Good luck trying to recover from that. But, yeah, it was fast. I'm going to play that clip, Cindy, but thanks so much for calling in and sharing that. I appreciate it.
One more thing. People don't know the history of Kamala Harris. Kamala Harris is the daughter of an Indian diplomat, and her father is a Jamaican professor at Stanford. So she is not the poster child for African American oppression.
She doesn't even fit that bill. But that's nobody's. That's not going to stop them anyway, which is shocking, but not really. Cindy, thanks for calling in. I'm going to play that clip now when they all put their hands up. Thanks for calling.
Okay. All right. Good job. Bye-bye.
Okay. Thanks. See ya. That was the moment when they all stood up. And it started off just as this question. And like, hey, everybody, let me ask you a question. Everybody put your hands up. You got to hear this. It's shocking. And then listen to the crowd roar.
Okay. A lot of you have been talking tonight about these government health care plans that you proposed in one form or another. This is a show of hands question. And hold them up for a moment so people can see. Raise your hand if your government plan would provide coverage for undocumented immigrants.
And so they all, literally every single one of them puts their hand up. Will your health insurance plan cover undocumented immigrants? Everybody illegal, the ones here and the ones coming. Oh, yes, enthusiastically. And they put their hands up. And here's a little interesting spiritual twist on this. And I don't know if this is actually what's going on in the spiritual realm on this side of the conversation. But this is the party that has enthusiastically endorsed child murder since Roe versus Wade, okay? Back to 1973. They've got 60 million babies worth of blood on their hands. And by the way, so does the Republican Party, because on the federal level, they've been pretty weak on this issue. It's a great fundraiser, but they're not, haven't gotten much done. We're still funding Planned Parenthood to $500 million a year. And so I'm not letting any Republican off the hook. A few of them have been warriors for life, but most of them just use it as a campaign issue. But to watch this go down and to see them take this position, they're so wrapped up. We'll take care of all these illegal aliens and we'll give you free health insurance and everything else, by the way. It's insanity. We're $22 trillion in debt. We can't deal with that. We can't pay that off. And we can't secure our borders. So just come on over and we'll give you everything you want. And Cindy made a great point. What does that say to everybody that's actually following the law? They come here, they obey the law, they walk through the process, which needs to be fixed, obviously. I say outsource the whole thing to Visa, MasterCard, and Discover, and American Express, because if they can allow me to buy something for $2,000 in 2.5 nanoseconds, I'm pretty sure they could handle the influx of people and get that system fixed and working well. But to just throw the doors open. And that was Cindy's powerful point. Hey, I go through all this trouble, I follow all the rules, I'm a naturalized citizen. Man, I take the oath they know more about the Constitution than probably 95% of their fellow citizens. And then they have to pay for their health insurance. But the illegal people get it for free? What is that? So on the spiritual side, because the Democrats know, hey, they've been on top of abortion forever. There's no such thing as an atheist, Romans 1. And ultimately, maybe this is their way of trying to assuage their guilt. Think of that for a second. We know we've been killing babies, advocating, celebrating, funding, protecting. That's been like their baby. Abortion's been like their baby, the wanted baby. And they've done that since 1973. The party of baby death. If you don't like the terminology, I don't really care. I love you, but you need to deal with the facts. You need to deal with the truth. So maybe this is their way of throwing the gates open for all of these people coming in illegally. Let's take care of all the kids on the border, you know, since they're born. And let's take care of all these illegal immigrants and all the people coming in here illegally. Let's do this great thing because your hands are dripping in the blood of the unborn. And once again, I'm not taking the Republican Party off that list either. But the Republican Party hasn't been the enthusiastic endorser, protector, provider, nanny for abortion. Maybe that's just some really weird, twisted, dark spiritual way that they're trying to atone for baby sacrifice for all these years. That just occurred to me as I was prepping for the show today, and I just wanted to put that one out there. But that's how twisted and dark this whole thing has gotten. Twisted and dark. I'll play one Kamala Harris thing and a couple other things that I want to share with you, and then the real story behind the father and the daughter who drowned crossing the Rio Grande River recently. Boy, do we need to pray for our country or what? All right, I'll be right back. 'Cause you are more than I could ever dream. This world could ever see. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, talking about the... I really don't have a lot of great... It was insane. It was wacky. It was loony. There was lunacy last night. The ideas of the Democrats now, they're so far to the left. And I think they're probably so far outside of the left, even on the mainstream Democrat side, on issues like they're going to keep saying the economy is bad, whereas 72% of Americans think it's good. There's been a lot of improvement there, obviously, but they're going to keep saying it's bad. They're for this whole open border thing, and every one of them last night put their hands up. Oh, we'll give all the illegal immigrants, if anybody coming across, we'll give you free health care. We'll take care of you. We're God. We'll take care of everyone. Most Americans aren't down with that. The whole reparations thing isn't going to go well for them. And then their unfettered access to abortion all the way up to the point of natural delivery. That stuff is still against the mainstream American way of thinking, at least for now. And so I do not think this is going to be a slam dunk for Trump at all. Because they're going to play the whole thing off of emotion. Donald Trump is Satan and we are your savior. And there's enough ill-informed people in this country that they'll buy that. And they want, because everybody's made in God's image, they all want a savior. They know that. They know they need one. So the Democrat Party steps in if they want to reject God. And Democrat, oh, they're going to give me everything. Wow, awesome. I'll take it. This is Kamala Harris when she went after Joe Biden, saying he's not a racist, but then basically called him a racist. And she's an effective communicator. That's going to work well for her throughout this primary. Just check it out. I'm not going to play the whole thing, but check it out.
I do not believe you are a racist. And I agree with you when you commit yourself to the importance of finding common ground. But I also believe, and it's personal, and I was actually it was hurtful to hear you talk about the reputations of two United States senators who built their reputations and career on the segregation of race in this country. And it was not only that, but you also worked with them to oppose busing.
Look, everything I've done in my career, I ran because of...
So this is Fighter Joe, right, trying to come back. And she's calm. She's a good storyteller. She can do an emotional appeal, and she's a black woman. And so Joe comes back. Joe the boxer, right? Old white guy. That's bad optics all the way across.
Civil rights. I continue to think we have to make fundamental changes in civil rights. And those civil rights, by the way, include not just only African-Americans, but the LGBT community.
But Vice President Biden, do you agree today? Do you agree today?
See, now she's cross-examining. He's on her turf now. That's why she's so dangerous to him.
Today, that you were wrong to oppose busing in America then.
No,
do you agree?
I did not oppose busing in America. What I opposed is busing ordered by the Department of Education. That's what I opposed.
Well,
I
there
did
was
not
a failure of states to integrate public schools in America. I was part of the second class to integrate Berkeley, California public schools almost two decades after Brown v. Board of Education.
Because your city council made that decision. It was a
local
decision.
So that's where the federal government must step in. That's why we have the Voting Rights Act and the Civil Rights Act. That's why we...
All right, now you're done. Thanks for playing, Joe. Have a nice day. He's gone. In that one. Not in the end. But he couldn't handle her. And Joe Biden's not the Joe Biden of old. So if he can't handle Kamala Harris, what do you think is going to happen when he's going into a debate with Donald Trump? And Donald Trump's got way more energy than Joe Biden. Joe Biden just looks flat and in trouble. One other line that she had that I just got to say something about, I mentioned it earlier on a commercial break, so my friends on Facebook Live on the Steve Noble Show page heard it when she said, "Hey guys, you know what? This is such a throwaway line. America does not want to witness a food fight. They want to know we're going to put food on their table and the place goes crazy." All right. That's the government's job, according to these people's mindset, is to put food on your table. It's not your job. Don't worry about it. You don't need that. What, personal responsibility? Forget that. We'll take care of you. We'll pay for your college. We'll pay for your health care. We'll give you $1,000 a month. Universal basic income, we'll take care of it. Because you know what happens when you're the provider? Then the people worship you. See, oh, there's so many dark spiritual dimensions to all this stuff. It's just nuts. So this is a great article. No more chasing Democrats, okay? This really is what's going on here. This is really good. This is from Michael Brendan Doherty. Chasing Democrats win elections. In 2006, 08, and 2018, Democrats humbled themselves before moderate and even conservative voters in triumph. Arrogant Democrats lose the votes. Nancy Pelosi must have been watching the past two nights of the Democratic Party debates in horror. In the 2018 midterm elections, Pelosi's Democrats far outdid Hillary Clinton's 2016 performance. Pelosi's Democrats won the popular vote over Republicans by 6.7 points nationwide. How? By relentlessly talking about pocketbook issues, particularly the Democrats' commitment to protecting voters' existing health care insurance arrangements. Over the last two nights, he writes, we saw a completely different Democrat party, which is what's scary, that this is mainstream now. They're willing to go out of the closet and talk about this stuff. Several leading candidates, including Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, and Kamala Harris, vowed to kick 100 million Americans off their private insurance plans in favor of Medicare for all. This is a position supported by less than 15% of Americans. Just a tiny fraction of that number of cancellations in the wake of Obamacare caused an electoral earthquake for Democrats in 2010. Democratic candidates have committed to decriminalizing illegal entry, rendering it a civil offense. Those caught entering would be released and told to come to a court at a future date. Democrats also say they would not deport anyone whose sole offense was illegally entering the country because illegal immigrants are Americans. That's insane. Taken together, these reduce illegal immigration to a speeding violation on the way toward guaranteed residence. Wow. Trump promised a wall. Democrats are promising an inviting turnstile. The only candidate who spoke clearly about winning over voters who went for Donald Trump in 2016 was the fascinating fringe candidate Andrew Yang, the guy without a tie. And he didn't get any time either, 2 minutes and 18 seconds. Of course, we should have expected freak flags flying. The people tuned into the primary this early tend to be activists and highly engaged donors. and the electorate in 2020 will be younger and more progressive than the one that Nancy Pelosi had to win over in 2018 because turnout rises in presidential election years. But as the hands went up unanimously for extremely disruptive and extremely unpopular policies, the thought kept coming to me, this is why you're going to get Trump. Now, I wish it were that easy, but I don't think it will be. Okay, so the story, you know, the kids in cages and all that stuff. Remember, we set the trap. America's responsible for making this magnet down there. And, of course, illegal immigrants coming up here of their own free will, most of them, not all of them, kids are being used like chattel slavery. Kids are being used because if you show up with kids, and we have no way of finding out whether they're actually your kids or not, so they're like renting them and passing them around, right? 99 bottles of beer on the wall kind of stuff. Show up with a kid. Oh, come in. Okay. 30 days. Our facilities aren't great, but it's probably better than where you came from, at least for 30 days. And then you're in. Boom. And now we're announcing, every Democrat candidate announcing, we're going to give them all free health care. Holy cow. Like, it reminds me of Paul. I'd rather depart and be with Christ. Man, we might die on the way up there, but America is the land of good and plenty. Everything's going to be great. Now they're going to give us free health care. This is awesome. We set the bait, and the bait determines the catch. It's crazy. So the father and the daughter who drown, okay? Just want to clear the record here. Facts still matter. You've probably seen the photo by now, a father and daughter from El Salvador washed up on the Mexican shore of the Rio Grande Monday after trying to cross the river. The little girl was not quite 2 years old. The image is tragic and hard to look at. Today, the Associated Press offered some additional background on the story behind the image. Uh-oh, truth. The family left their country for economic reasons, but planned to file an asylum claim anyway, which is not economic, okay? The young family from El Salvador appeared in this border city over the weekend with panic on their faces. This is from the article. They went to the downtown bridge that leads to Brownsville, Texas, where Ziramara Meja, a migrant from Honduras, explained to the newcomers they would not be able to add their names to the long list of families waiting to apply for asylum in the United States until Monday. This is her. They talked to this lady. They said to me, you haven't tried to cross the river? Ms. Meja said, we said to them, no, because of the children more than anything. I don't know how to swim, and my kids do, but either way, I'm not going to risk it. I didn't think they were going to decide to cross the river, she said. But they didn't wait to add their names to the list. Like a lot of migrants, they decided to cross the border on their own. They attempted to cross the Rio Grande in a spot where it is narrow but fast-moving. The husband, Oscar Alberto Ramirez, swam across with his 23-month-old daughter, Valeria, and set her down on the U.S. side of the river. Then he started to swim back across to help his wife, who was still waiting on the Mexican side. But when the little girl saw her dad leaving, she apparently got scared and jumped into the water after him. He reversed course to rescue her, and both of them were swept away by the current. Again, it's an awful, tragic story. It makes you wonder why someone would take such a risk, even after being warned it was dangerous. According to Oscar's mother, this is the dad, he and his wife and daughter were not fleeing gang violence or state persecution. They were economic migrants coming to the U.S. for a better life. Martinez had shared a sea green brick home with barred windows in San Martin on the outskirts of the capital, San Salvador, with his mother, his wife, and their daughter. In their working class neighborhood of about 40,000 people, he worked in a pizzeria and his wife was a cashier in a fast food restaurant. The area has had some problems with gang violence, but these days it's calm, the mom said. Ramirez said she had given them the big room in the two-bedroom house, but they dreamed of saving money for a place of their own, and the dream drove the family to head for the United States in early April. Why would you go there? Because you can get in. I told him, son, don't go, but if you go, leave me the girl. This is the mom talking, the grandmother of the baby. Curiously, what Oscar's mother said about her son not having any problems with gangs has now been removed from the AP story. The line about them being economic migrants is gone. Why was it removed? This is from the AP story. Having an economic motive for migrating to the U.S. doesn't make the death of a father and his young daughter any less tragic. But it does highlight an aspect of what is happening at the border that Democrats and the media have often seemed eager to ignore. Central Americans who want a better life in America are gaming our immigration system by the thousands every day, completely overwhelming the system. Claims of asylum do not extend to economic migrants. But these migrants have learned that if they cross the border and they turn themselves into the Border Patrol and make an asylum claim, they won't be deported. It's a quick shortcut to get into the country and then get released, and that's especially true if you're traveling with a child, allegedly your own. And that's the problem. We set the bait in the trap. And yes, they're responsible. And I don't blame people for wanting to move up economically. But by allowing them to get in, and now we're going to give them free health care too, we just put an even nicer piece of bait on the trap. And more people will be harmed, and more people will die. And it's the Democrats' fault largely. God help us. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you soon. Lovelife.org. Come join us tomorrow morning.